The numbers told the story, they always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is the numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly, and I do mean proudly, brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin.
Hey, let's go.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing, man?
Good morrow. How great is it to be alive with the Masters going on right now? NBA headed in the final stretches here, the final few days of the NBA season, to be followed by the play-in and the playoffs. It's rhetorical, by the way. You don't have to answer. It's awesome.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. You got Brooks Koepka 99-1.
Yes, sir.
He is 1-under for the morning. Was a co-leader after round one yesterday. We had three co-leaders. Brooks Koepka, Victor Hovland, and John Rahm. Congratulations to anybody who dead-heated with any of those three. All 7-under yesterday. It was 7-under 65s. What a very favorable day for the players yesterday when the weather was at its most glorious, or will be at its most glorious for these 4 days. 85-degree high yesterday. Today, 96% of precipitation. So everybody playing early, in theory, has the advantage. Get your scores in now and have everybody deal with that later. Tomorrow, it's going to be 51 degrees with 98% precipitation. So we'll see how much golf we can get in today and tomorrow. Will this tournament have to go past Sunday? We talked about this on the Beating the Book podcast. And by the way, congratulations, Kelly. The most downloaded long shots podcast of all time this week for the
nice.
Masters. Congratulations.
I did not know that.
By a long shot.
see what I love that you know that and I don't know.
See what I did there?
I do see what you did there.
So we talked about this.
Thank you for all the listeners out there.
Well, you know, it's the Masters. That's the first thing, right? We did we had you guys on Beating the Book, but also all the promos with Matt going, it's called long shots. You know that promo where he speed says
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
It's called long shots. What we talked about was, when was the last time there was a Masters that was played on a Monday? And the answer was 1983, a year that Seve Ballesteros won it, the great Seve Ballesteros. So it's been a long time.
I have a feeling we're going to see that this year.
40 years ago. We'll see. Brooks Koepka right now with the one-stroke lead. His birdie on two has held up through six. Nice par save for Brooksy on the sixth hole, the par 3-6.
Jason Day, 2-under.
Jason Day lurking.
For the day. He's 7-under par now.
Oh, he's 2-under for the day.
For the day.
So I saw
5-1 on him.
I saw him 1-under for the day. So he's now 2-under. Jason Day lurking, one back in this. And Scottie Scheffler about to tee off. Scottie Scheffler, who was 4-under for the day, the defending champion, who I have along with Max Homa. Scheffler was the second to worst putter, strokes gained putting yesterday. He left at least a couple strokes on the board. And it was 3.5. His strokes game was like 3.5 behind the field or something.
Yeah,
like, it was just, I mean, he could have absolutely been among those co-leaders yesterday. Just didn't, but that's been the one sort of weakness of his game, right? The putter's been the only thing that's been shaky.
Yeah.
So you would expect him, at least that's the hope for those of us who have Scheffler tickets, to rise up this morning as well before the weather comes.
Yeah, so second worst in the field yesterday, losing 3.5 strokes to the field putting. The only person worse was Gordon Sargent, the amateur that everyone was betting.
He's the number one amateur, I believe, Gordon Sargent. Ranked number one as amateur.
Scheffler, I believe, teed off. I think he went wide right, actually. I think he is.
Did he?
I think he's in some trouble, yeah.
Listen, Kelly, no bad news on this show, just good news for sure, Scheffler, please.
Hey, I hear you, man. I added him yesterday, too, so I hope he's in the mix. I mean,
he'll be in the mix.
I added him just like I planned on adding him the whole time. I just didn't get any longer odds than I was hoping I was going to get.
All right, NBA. And again, we're looking for all kinds of betting eggs. And we'll monitor the Masters all morning long. We'll be distracted by it. We'll be distracted by that and by the Warren G. Morgan Wallen chasing you mashup. Have you heard this, Kelly? It is fantastic. It's going through my head all the morning. But the NBA, we're looking for betting angles on this. So the only thing that happened of real consequence last night is that the Utah Jazz were eliminated from playoff contention, from play-in contention, if you will, in the Western Conference by virtue of OKC's win over Utah yesterday. Now, we have 3 days left in the regular season. Everybody's got one or two games left. And so I just want to talk through this for a second, because there's a notion. Will Hill texted me yesterday. He's like, he's like Sacramento listed everybody. So Sacramento tonight, they have listed everybody pretty much as questionable against the Dubs.
Yep.
So the thought being, and he was texting me about this, he's like, I think the Kings are going to purposely lose this game so that the Warriors will end up at five so that they don't have to play the Warriors. That was his working theory. And I said to him, I'm like, okay. And you can see it from, some people are like, from the Clippers' perspective, you can see the Clippers trying to fall, the theory being, the Clippers would want to fall behind the Warriors too, so they might try to manipulate it so that the Warriors end up as the five seed. Again, with the prize, quote-unquote, and all of this being, you want to avoid the Suns at four, and then if we can extend it even into the second round, the Nuggets at one, as opposed to playing the Kings 3, Memphis Grizzlies 2 track, assuming those are how those two seeds end up. So, and that makes sense, right? That makes sense that you would try to avoid the Suns to begin with, for sure, the way they're playing with KD back in the first round. But here's the problem with all of that. And this is what because I spent an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out if any of this is possible. And my conclusion, Kelly Bidlin, is none of it's possible. None of these teams can manipulate it. None of them. And I'll tell you why. Because if you look at the Western, I could be wrong, but follow my logic here. As I'm looking at the Western Conference standings, right now, Clippers are fifth, Warriors are sixth, but they're both tied at 42 and 38. Clippers have the tie-break advantage. At the moment.
That's the other tough part, is even if you look up the tiebreakers, change over the next couple
of days. Did go to the tiebreakers, and this is the problem. This is why no one can manipulate this. So the Clippers are five, the Warriors are six, but they have the same record. One game behind them are the Lakers and the Pelicans, both of whom are play-in at worst, neither of whom can be knocked out. In fact, they could even rise up as well to five or six. And obviously, 7, 8, 9, 10 are the play-in, so you want to get to five or six. You cannot risk being 7 or 8. So the Clippers, if they, this notion that they could manipulate it and sort of lose on purpose themselves in any of these games, they play, what have they got, Portland tonight? Or Portland is their next game. So you can't afford to get knocked out of 5 and 6. In your efforts,
you can't afford that.
No, yes. In your efforts to get the Warriors to 5, you can't risk getting down to 7. Now, some people would say, yeah, but Gil, the Clippers have the tiebreaker over the Lakers, so that's not a problem. Yes, but the problem with that would be, hear me out, is that then the Warriors, let's say we go with that theory and the Clippers decided to tank their game to the Blazers, and then the Warriors beat the Kings, who are half-baking it, if you will. I could have gone another way, but I went half-baking it. Well, on Sunday, everybody plays at the same time, right? So the Warriors in that situation could decide, well, we'll just lose on Sunday, and then the Clippers can't afford to lose, right? Because they can't fall to 7, so they'd have to win, and they would risk a 3-way tie between the Warriors, the Clippers, and the Lakers, which would then go to division records, which the Clippers have a better one than those two teams anyway, so they would end up 5 that way. And none of that even includes the possibility of a 4-way tie with the Pelicans, which would then go to conference record, which the Clippers would end up on the outside looking in on. They'd be in the play-in. So the Clippers can't mess with it any which way.
None of these teams.
They can't.
No.
We can try to think it through and come up with all our theories. This is what I was talking about the other day, how I think bettors tend to overrate this kind of stuff. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kelly.
No, I was just going to say, you can't risk. You'd rather play the Suns than play in the play-in tournament. So, I understand, of course, nobody wants to play the Suns in the first round, but you can't risk falling into that play-in tournament.
That's right.
We're just at the point where tiebreakers are going to work out the way they work out.
They're going to work out the way they're going to work out. Sacramento can't manipulate it. The Clippers can't manipulate it. Nobody can.
The only thing we're pointing out is Sacramento is not locked in to that 3 seed yet.
Sacramento, if that's another thing. This is what I was saying earlier this week. I mean, if Sacramento wanted to, right, they would try to win their last two. Ostensibly, Phoenix could lose their last two, and Sacramento would end up 2, and Phoenix would end up, Memphis.
Yeah.
Sacramento would end up 2, Memphis would end up 3. I guess there is that, but Sacramento's probably going to sit everybody tonight. So Sacramento doesn't care if they're two or three.
Yeah, I don't know. Because could've Sacramento said that about Philly last night too, though.
But Sacramento can't pick their opponent if they're three.
No,
so
there's
no point in any of this.
That's the difference in the Sixers last night. Yeah.
Well, no, the Sixers were already locked into three.
I know they're already locked into three, but the idea of them playing guys like they did, I mean, they sat Maxey, but they played Embiid. The idea of that is if they beat the Heat, they could have locked the Nets in to the six seed.
Nets are going to be the six anyway, because the Nets' magic number is one here, right? They'd have to lose twice, and the Heat would have to win twice in these final games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Nets are probably going to be six either way. By the way, Embiid... You know, with that Sixers game last night, we were sort of, I sent the text around. I'm like, oh, isn't this interesting? You know, because I talk about the moving goalposts, right? Everyone was like, oh, if the Sixers win the conference, you know, if they have the best record, boy, Embiid's got to be the MVP. Then they're like, oh, if they win the Atlantic Division, Embiid's got to be the MVP. Now they're like, oh, third seed's fine. He should be the MVP anyway. Well, how about last night when they get, you know, in a game that doesn't matter to them, but they lose badly to the Heat, and Embiid is kind of ho-hum, 21 points, 6 boards, 2 assists. Of course, the Embiid voters would be like, yeah, but it's a game that doesn't matter. So, you know, it's like the constant moving narrative or justification of why you want to vote for who you want to vote
for.
Exactly. It's all a bunch
of...
Yeah. All right, we got JVT on the NBA next. We got Paul Carr on the Premier League. Jonathan Davis in studio to talk NHL. How about some live hockey talk? Jordan Sherwood, great UFC card, at least in the main and the co-main. And Chris Felica, Fox's Bear, on the show as well to talk all his bets. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Kevin Ryan at Road King KR. He said, while watching the Masters coverage live on the Masters app, he said, yesterday I heard Bones say to JT, your target is going to be the largest man wearing the Ben Hogan beanie. Crack sighting. I don't know if he's being serious or not.
Wait, is that the same tweet you read yesterday or no?
Oh, did I read that yesterday?
We got like a same exact tweet.
That was yesterday. That one was from yesterday, I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. So we've now got multiple tweets about it.
Oh, no. That was the same one. I didn't know I read it yesterday. Yeah, I was just saying this was from yesterday. From today now, this morning, because I just want to know if that was real or not. Was there an actual crack sighting? By the way, Mickelson double bogeying now, or at least this putt for double bogey.
Good. More. Give me more of them, Phil.
Phil Mickelson, who looks like a crooked cop.
Scheffler with an opening bogey back to 3-under.
Oh, Scotty. Well, he's got to score on number two. Yeah, they got to get a bird or an eagle on number two. Zach Davies, if you haven't yet, you got to look at that Pegula-Begu match recap from yesterday. Never seen anything quite like it. It was amazing. Jesse Pegula was going to beat Irina Camila-Begu in straight sets. She was up 4-love in the second set. She gacks the second set. Begu comes all the way back, and then Begu takes a 4-love lead in the third set, and then she gacks it to Pegula, who wins the match. You do not see that often. Coach Brian, is it common for sportsbooks to split the winnings among bettors or the winners when you have three golfers tied at the end of the round? I had Rahm at 16-1, but only got somewhere between 1/3 or 1/4 of the expected payout. Yes, it's called a dead heat. So you will get dead heat money. Garth Daisy, hi Gil, I'm making a documentary on sports betting, mostly through the eyes of a particular group of sports bettors who call themselves lowbaggers. I'm in Vegas for a few days and would love to interview for the doc if you're so inclined. DM for more info. Should I do unsolicited documentaries, Kelly? What do you think? What's your advice?
I say it's that only if it's at your sushi place.
Alan Mitchell. Man, after the women's final college, there was a lot of excitement about women's sports. Would you agree Nike having a dude as a spokesman for women's athletic wear cancels that out? Hashtag Kepka, let's ride. Oh, I didn't see that. Is he an endorser for that? I didn't know that. Yeah.
I don't know.
Good point, though. And just Doug, thanks. I had Koepka at 40-1 to lead round one. The book split. My win is a dead heat. Is that normal? Yes, it is. Jonathan Von Tobel joins us, everybody. He's the senior NBA handicapper here at VSiN. He's also the host of Hardwood Handicappers, great basketball podcast, which he does with a young Kelly Bidlin as well. JVT joins us now at MeJVT. How you doing, John?
Is Kelly young? I thought Kelly was. I think Kelly's older than me, isn't he?
He might be. I just refer to people as young.
I got that sneaky young going for me.
It's the DC thing when you say youngin. Okay, JVT, I want to go through the same exercise that I did with Drew yesterday, which is let's play. I know you're going to hate me for this, by the way. Let me just preamble with you're going to hate me for this. Hypothetical series lines.
Okay.
And we just went through a whole thing about how this is – no team can really manipulate this. But let's say the Warriors do play the Kings. What's that series price?
I think the market – is Andrew Wiggins going to play?
He is.
Okay. So then I'll say Warriors minus 120. How about that?
Oh, I think that's God, really? I would bet the house on that.
Yeah. I feel like the market would factor in the struggles on the road. I do think the Kings are worthy of some respect. We have to realize too that part of the reason why the Warriors have struggled on the road is because they have the third worst road defense in the NBA. It's not really good against the best offense in the NBA. Obviously I'm not great at making these, but I'll go Warriors minus 120. I would assume what? Are you expecting it higher?
First of all, I talked to Drew about it on Tuesday, and and he said minus 180. I'm like, oh, damn, I wish it weren't that high. I wish people would go with this Warriors road woes thing and they'd make it low. But then you're telling me that it would be low. I guess
somewhere in the middle. I'm going to say minus 150.
It's 90 minutes up the road. Like, I mean, you know, road in quotes, right? But I guess it's the road arena we're talking about that somehow does this magic to the, you know, this voodoo, if you will, to the Warriors.
I think too, Gil, one of the things that we saw this in the postseason last year, you know, through up to the second round, I think it was home court peaked at about like 4.5 points. You could even argue it was just over that in terms of its value. So I don't even think it's the Warriors road struggles, but we did see at least in last year's postseason that home court took on a very strong value, especially early in the postseason. And when you're talking about the Sacramento Kings, who are having their first playoff series in a matter of, what is it now, 16 years in a little bit more of a charged environment, maybe I'm weighing too much what Sacramento is going to have there at home, but I think that factors into why I made the price the way it is.
Okay. If the Lakers end up in a play-in and they end up winning the 7-8 game and the Grizzlies, a lot of ifs here, John, and the Grizzlies maintain the number 2 seed, Memphis Lakers hypothetical line, will the Lakers be favored?
Man, because we have to factor in Steven Adams is, I don't know what's going on with Steven Adams, whether or not he's going to be available. That's a pretty shortened front court. I would think that the Grizzlies are good enough by market standards that they would be slight favorites against the Lakers, but I wouldn't think it's much. I would say like minus 130 to win that series.
So I think you're right on this one. I think the Grizzlies will be slight-ish favorite. I would put the line that you gave for the Warriors series on this one in favor of the Grizzlies. I can't imagine the Warriors would be lower than minus 175. Like, I really, because I think then all the money would pour in. I don't know. We'll see. This is what makes this so interesting. And it's a great gambling exercise because this is what everybody should be doing in preparation for these series and then bet accordingly based on what your numbers ought to be, right? So that's
right.
I mean, what's the Sun? Let's just play it this way. If it's the Suns and the Clippers, which is also an if, as a 4 or 5, what's that series price in the West?
So the Suns are going to be favored, and I'll say it's like minus 145, minus 150. But I will say that I think the Clippers are an incredible matchup for the Phoenix Suns, and I would be all over the Los Angeles Clippers in that series.
There we go.
But I do think it would be like minus 150, maybe a little bit higher. The market might freak out because they are the Western Conference favorites. They have Kevin Durant. But I think minus 150 would be like the bare minimum.
All right, and last one. What's a second round? Let's assume the Celtics and the Sixers both dispatch of their first round opponents fairly easily. Let's say, you know, max 6 games, 5 or 6 games. What's the Celtics Sixers round 2 price?
Ooh. I'm thinking like minus 175 for Boston.
Wow. Okay. That high.
Yeah, the market really has a lot of respect for Boston, and we talk a lot about these matchups. So in the Eastern Conference especially, like the Celtics really match up, I think, extremely well with the 76ers, right? They were 3-0 going into that last game against them for a very good reason. I think that's probably why you're going to see that price that high. I think there's a lot of bettors who would rush to bet Boston. And there's been this surge in Boston's market rating, I think, over the last couple of games.
All right. I just spent an inordinate amount of time in the first segment sort of making the case that nobody can manipulate playoff position in the Western Conference. What do you do with today's card? Do you have your eye out on anything?
I mean, for me, it's actually not involving any of these teams that have anything to play for. One of the angles that I've been taking, Gil, is looking at these eliminated teams and playing these games over the total. You had another
like yesterday, right? That was perfect. Yes,
absolutely. Portland, San Antonio, for those that didn't see it, 105 possessions for each team. They're just running up and down the floor. These are guys who don't play that often, who just want to, of course, play and get up and down and maximize their time out there. So you have two instances today. You have Houston and Charlotte. You have Detroit, Indiana. And what's interesting, Gil, is still yesterday, the market dipped on it. The market actually went to the under for that Portland game, and that thing went well over the total. Now you're starting to see the market respond to the right way. Houston, Charlotte's up to 230 in some spots. Detroit, Indiana's at 231. But I think looking at those eliminated teams and playing those games over, because it's kind of get like an AAU feel to it, I think that's the way you want to do it, because you look at certain instances, right, like Brooklyn and Orlando. Brooklyn's magic number is one. And Kelly and I talked about this on the podcast last time out, which was these teams that have something to win or need to win, right? The market really overvalues them to a certain extent. And I think overvalue them very strongly. Now, Orlando's not playing anybody, but we also saw Orlando get burned by that yesterday, right? Where Cleveland didn't play anybody. So I think the market's kind of overvaluing some of these teams in must-win spots. I tend to go to those spots where these teams have nothing to play for and bet those things over.
I love it. And I even mentioned it on the air yesterday. I was like, Blazers, Spurs, 228.5. That seems low. Nobody's going to play any defense. And ask me if I bet it. I forgot to bet it. Full disclosure. So dumb. Okay. Final two questions. Then out of obligation again, who will be the MVP? Who would you vote for MVP?
So I think who will be MVP is Joel Embiid. I think the market is swinging in that direction for a reason. The narrative is swung in that direction for a reason. As for who I would vote for to win MVP, I think I would bet, or I would vote if I had one, for Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he is the best two-way player in the NBA. As Kelly always says, he is the best player in the NBA. He is the best best player on the best team in the association at this point right now. His numbers dictate that he is one of the most valuable players in the association. That's who my vote would be for.
You never seen Denny Avdia play, Kelly? That's the best player. And then Western Conference Final, you're sticking with Clippers in there, right?
Yeah, why not? I think they match up well with Phoenix. If they get that matchup, if they get Paul George back, they're going to be healthy. I don't see any reason to come off the preseason priors if they're still alive.
And they're playing who in the Western Conference Final?
Let's do Lakers. Let's make it fun. Let's do it.
I thought JVT was going to be like, well, now that's an unfair question beyond the Clippers. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Enjoy the final three games or 3 days of the NBA season, man.
Good to talk to you guys. Thank you.
JVT at me, JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, host of Hardwood Handicappers. The NFL draft had a moment yesterday with Chris Mortensen. We'll explore next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, including advice, data, and strategy for only $9.99. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta. For this year's Masters Betting Guide, Wes Reynolds profiles every player in the field. Matt Eumanns gives his best bets. Sign up today to get full access to VSiN through the NFL Draft for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Well, I think it, listen, I don't want it to happen because I don't have a bet, but for you, Kelly, I'd love for it to happen, but I'm rooting for my bets. Sorry, buddy. But I think it's the first time that it's responsible for us to utter the question out loud. Is Brooks Koepka going to run away and hide in this tournament? Because he just eagled the eighth hole to go to 10 under for the tournament, three stroke lead over Day, Hovland, and Rahm, which obviously is way early to call a tournament. But here's the thing about Brooks Koepka, though. At, you know, peak Koepka, when he won the PGA in 2018 and 2019, when he won the U.S. Open in 2017 and 2018, also finishing second in the Masters back in 2019, second in the Masters in 2019, fourth at the Open Championship in 2019. I mean, that was peak Koepka. The thing that was the hallmark, especially of those four wins in majors, was that he was unflappable in the lead. Like, you're just like, this guy's got to buckle at some point, and he never does.
Never did.
And right now, we're getting a glimpse of that Koepka.
Yeah, I think people can easily forget he was the best player in the world for a long stretch of time. There was always that conversation of, does he take the majors more seriously than the other tournaments?
Yeah.
think that was pretty obvious for a couple of years there. But yeah, no, you're right, man. The one thing that I've always respected about him is the level of competitor that he is. And man, like he, those moments that you're talking about, he would slam that door shut usually on opponents trying to chase him down.
All right, two things I want to talk about, which were reports.
Real quick.
Yeah, go
real
ahead.
Quick, y'all wanted to see this number. Scottie Scheffler now 7 shots off the lead, 8-1.
that's the market respect.
That is the market respect.
By the way, your Scheffler strategy did not work yesterday.
They didn't at all. I ended up having to take him at like a slightly worse number. They just would not budge. The books would not budge on Rory and Scottie.
Your strategy was to wait to play him.
And in theory, it's what I was hoping to happen, happened perfect, right? A biggish name like Victor Hovland shoots out to that early lead.
Yeah.
And you could just tell the books had gotten enough on Rory and Scheffler that they were not moving.
It was like I had multiple people texting me, oh, he was so bad on putting. Like, this is the time to take. I was like, yeah, but the market knows that too. Like, they're aware of the same thing, you know. So a couple reports yesterday, one in basketball, one in football, one of which is a total non-report to us. The other moved actual markets. Let's talk about the non-story, which was in the NBA, where on Thursday afternoon, Pelicans executive VP of basketball operations, David Griffin, announced, so it's not really a report, but really from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
He goes, after further evaluation, it has been determined that Zion Williamson will continue his rehab and conditioning regimen, will continue to monitor his progression, and updates will be provided as warranted. And then Shams Charania chimed in, Pelican star Zion Williamson, sidelined since January 2nd with a hamstring strain, is unlikely to return to action in next week's play-in tournament. Sources tell The Athletic the team has been cautious with Williamson's comeback as he continues the rehab process. Let me be among the chorus of people who say, this is not a report. Until he's coming back, then get back to us. Because the baseline for Zion is he's not playing.
The problem is I'm starting to read into this a bit more, and it's like, okay, is there, like you're saying,
this has marred his career, man.
And it's getting to that point, and are we, for this specific one this year, is it worse than maybe we know about? He re-aggravated it like a couple months ago or whatever. I don't know, but it kind of goes back to what I've said about like LeBron and AD, like in these back-to-backs. We talked about that the other day. We're like, there's no more time to screw around.
No.
Like, if you're good to play, lace up the sneakers and get out there. This isn't the NBA heart of the regular season. We got seating up for grabs and playoffs to play here.
Nothing makes me feel more like the old guy telling people to get off their lawn than this subject. Because even when we talk about, oh, well, the Lakers, of course, they were going to lose to the Clippers the other night because it was back-to-back. It was the, 3-4, 4-6, whatever it was, right? And I just, in my head, Kelly, and it takes every fiber in my body not to say it out loud on the show because everybody's going to be like, you're so old. You think Michael Jordan would have cared about that?
Hell no!
Like it drives me crazy that everybody accepts that as it's a game for playoff position and everybody's like, well, of course they were going to get blown out because it was this. Are these not pro athletes? Have they not had enough load management? Good God.
I mean, that day, that was the Clippers game when they had the back-to-back, the fact that people are even asking the question, you know, is LeBron going to play? It's like we've gotten to the point where we even have to ask that question.
People went even far to say, oh, bad job by the NBA on the schedule. What are you talking about, bad job on the NBA on the schedule? The schedule was made before the season. You think they knew those teams were going to be in that situation at
Everybody
that point?
Everybody plays back-to-backs.
Oh, my God.
Also, I don't think, like, as much as we want to divide MJ and LeBron, I also don't think there's any chance in hell LeBron misses a game like that. Like, this is a dude who has won championships, who's a competitor. He knows what's going on.
Of course he does. All right, now for the report that actually moved markets, which is in the NFL. So Chris Mortensen comes on ESPN yesterday, and he says, quote, what I'm hearing is that both Mel and Todd, talking about Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, taking a little jab at his colleagues, are going to have to change their mock drafts, and that Bryce Young is the pick, Morton said on a recent episode of SportsCenter special, referring to the Panthers' first pick in the draft. Yes, connecting Frank Reich to C.J. Stroud in terms of the prototype of guy he's worked with in the past, but they all love Bryce Young. And so the market moved. And Bryce Young even became a favorite in this for a moment.
Did he really?
He did. And then C.J. Stroud became the favorite again by a little more than we're showing now. And now it's CJ Stroud settled in as a minus 130 favorite to go number one. Bryce Young, even money. It should be noted, the part of this story that no one is adding is that later in that same exact interview, Mel Kiper, sort of in defense of himself, in that Mel Kiper Baltimore voice, is like, well, you know, Mort is saying he's the, you know, they made their decision and so on and so forth. To which Mortensen then replies with the final comment, well, I didn't say they made their decision. After he had just said Bryce Young is the pick, then he goes, I never said they made the decision. That comment didn't seem to get the headlines and move the market back. Maybe it did a little bit. Maybe that's why we saw it go back to Stroud, because people sort of got their heads about him. Odds to be the second overall pick at DraftKings, Bryce Young the slight favorite, minus 130, CJ Stroud minus 105.
The one I want to point out here, quick, Gil, is Isaiah updates these every day. So Isaiah Wrinkle, the fine director of this program, has about a better feel for how the draft odds are moving than like anybody on the freaking
right,
planet.
Because he's got to actually pump them into the system.
Yeah, and I always tell him every day, I'm like, hey, give me a heads up and any kind of significant movement. The one that kind of keeps shocking me is how much Will Anderson's odds just keep getting shorter and shorter in these second and third markets. And, like, there's no chance, right? Like, there's no chance.
He's not going second. He's not going second.
He's not going second.
He could go third.
He could go third.
If it didn't move any, right, he could go third.
He could go third, but I don't think that's going to – I think a trade's going to end up happening.
I do, too.
So it's just, like, it's crazy to me that he's 5-1 to be the second overall pick.
Yeah, that seems way short. Seems way short.
Man, I'll tell you, we've brought this up before, but the money that's being bet into just any market now in sports betting, the way these odds can shift so rapidly after reports like that,
yes,
like you can get yourself into just great arbitrage situations if you wanted to.
And in retrospect, right? In retrospect, it's much easier to say than in the moment. Because, you know, it's very easy. Oh, well, you should have plus money on, and I know you do, right? You should have plus money on Stroud. You should have plus money on Young. Okay, but if you have conviction, you're not necessarily going to do that.
Correct.
Some people do, some people don't. But yes, the arc of this is so long that you have so many opportunities to think about it that maybe you will, maybe you should.
But like, Gilly, you don't think we're going to keep seeing this flip over the next 3 weeks? Like, we still have 3 weeks.
I like the broader point of what you're making, which is if we wanted to, we could do an NFL draft segment every single day and people would lose their minds because it's like, well, why are we? Because every day it moves. So what if it moves? Have some conviction and go with your conviction. You know, that's the better way. By the way, that applies to Lamar Jackson as well, right? ESPN will do a Lamar Jackson segment how many times a day?
Oh, gosh.
18? Yeah. I don't know. Whatever the number
day.
Is. A day, yeah.
We'll start with an hour.
So we could do a Lamar Jackson segment every day, too, but we're a betting show. And so the ability to sort of hone in on where he's going to end up, if you've got the answer, if you can figure that out, then good on you and bet accordingly. I can't read the tea leaves on the Lamar Jackson thing. Like, if I asked you right now, do you think he stays with the Ravens? Do you think he ends up with another team? What's your percentage chance on each of those?
I think it's a 90% chance at this point he is not with the Baltimore Ravens.
90% not.
I'm up to that.
I'm going to go a little lower than that. But then once you figure out he's not going to be on the Ravens, can you parse out where he's going?
No, not at all.
In any way, shape, or form, which is what we really care about. So, again, we'll do many more of these. Not every day, but we will do many more of these. Premier League picks. You want some soccer action? We got that next with Paul Carr. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus. Sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Brooks Koepka, 3-stroke lead over John Rahm and Victor Hovland, neither of whom have teed off yet, round 2 at Augusta, and a 3-stroke lead over Jason Dai. who is 7 under par. Scottie Scheffler parred the second hole. That is not good, Kelly, for Scottie Scheffler backers like myself. You got to score on the second hole.
Yeah. Yeah, got to make birdie there.
Got to make birdie there at a minimum. He does not. He pars the second hole. So he's off to a rough start here. Bogey par. 7 strokes behind Brooks Koepka, the defending champ, Scottie Scheffler. Early round 2 action at the Masters.
Oh, he's moved to 10 to 1.
10 to 1.
Scheffler.
Anybody?
Long shot now.
Anybody want 10 to 1? Enticing. Nothing for you?
No, I'm good. I mean, what do you mean? I took him yesterday at a terrible price.
7 bet. Oh, yes, you did. Yeah. That's right. Paul Carr joins us from Topeka, Kansas. He, of course, is at True Media Networks. He's the host of the Expected Value podcast to give us some Premier League picks as well here on the show. You have what were your Masters plays, Paul? Did you have anything?
I got a few random ones. I have a Scheffler and a Cantley to win. Finau top 10, Cam Young top 10. I think those are the ones I have going.
All right. Cam Young and Finau had good days yesterday, did they not? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Young was...
Cantley was just 1 under.
Yeah.
Young was 5 under.
Finau has started out. He's 7 strokes back as well, so he's on the course as well in the early going. All right, let's talk about a couple things. One, when you're giving your Premier League picks here on the show, I usually bring up the Premier League standings, and for much of this season, it was like, okay, well, wow, you know, Arsenal, they're up, but are they really going to win this? And then it got to, wow, Arsenal, they're really going to win this, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right? They have an 8-point lead. They got 9 games left. Man City, who's 8 points back, they've got 10 games left. Is there a bet here? Let's start there.
If you can get a good price on City. I was looking this morning. I saw them at plus 125 at Caesars, which I think is what you want. They're plus 110 a lot of places, which I think that's a little too thin. So here's the logic. So yeah, City's 8 points down, but they have a game in hand. So, you know, that's closer to 5-point deficit. And I think it's a timing thing as much as anything, because City's next few games, they are at Southampton this weekend. Southampton's terrible. Relegation City ought to win easily. Then City's home to Leicester, which is a mess. Just changed coaches. Also relegation trouble. That should be a win. And then City hosts Arsenal. This is obviously the biggest game left as far as the title race goes. And obviously, if City wins that, your odds are going to flip or tilt heavily to City. So if you like City and can get that plus 125 price, I think now is the time. Couple easy games, the home game against Arsenal. I have an Arsenal future, so I'm not playing City right now, just for interest of full disclosure. But if you are on the City bandwagon and believe in them and can get that price, I think now is the time to do it before a couple easy games in Arsenal.
It's only plus 125? That's it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird to look at the standings and see this 8-point gap, but then you look at the odds, and it's really a lot about the schedule, because after that Arsenal game, City has nobody left who's in the top 6 right now, except for one game against Brighton that hasn't been scheduled yet. So City's got an easier schedule. Arsenal has to go to Liverpool this weekend. Obviously, they play at City. They have to play at Newcastle. So that's a big reason. It is disorienting to see the 8-point gap and then see the odds fairly close to a coin flip.
Yeah, disorienting would be the word. All right, and then we have a managerial change at Chelsea. This is a big deal, right?
It is, just because, so they brought back Frank Lampard, who managed him a couple seasons ago, had one good season, and then was pretty awful and got replaced by Thomas Tuchel, and we bet the unders all season and did well. Lampard is a Chelsea legend, one of their best players ever. This is just a caretaker role. I was trying to think of a good American sports parallel, and I didn't come up with one, but maybe if, the Mavericks brought Jason Kidd back to finish the season when the Mavericks were, you know, out of the playoffs already, something like that. He's kind of just filling it in because Chelsea's in 11th place. They're not in the Premier League. They are in the Champions League quarterfinals. So really what I'm rooting for is for them to somehow win Champions League with Lampard as manager, even though they have no intention of keeping him, just because it'd be the craziest thing that could possibly happen. It won't, because Chelsea has Real Madrid and then either City or Bayern. But that'd be a pretty weird thing if that could happen. I'm rooting for it.
Yeah, I was going to, when you said, what's the American equivalent? Magic Johnson coaching the Lakers popped
there
in my
go.
Head.
That's even better.
But they were actually serious about that at the time.
That's
that?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is very clearly he's just finishing the season.
Right.
Because I think Chelsea fired Graham Potter, their manager, because there's a couple big names out there. Julian Nagelsmann was let go by Bayern. So there's a couple of guys out there that Chelsea's trying to get ahead of. and, you know, maybe hire one of those guys even before the end of the season. So they put Lampard in. Look, you've been a coach, you know the org, this will be fine. Just get us to the finish line here this season, and then we'll move on.
All right. Our three pack of picks then for the Premier League. What do you got?
Okay. We're going to start. These are all Saturday. We're going to start with Brentford and Newcastle. I have both teams to score at minus 120. Newcastle's good. They're the third best team in the league. They've been good on the road. Brentford's been good at home. And they have one home loss in 14 games since Brentford. And they've scored in 14 out of 16 games since Halloween. And I know there's a little recency bias because they didn't score against Manchester United midweek, but they had 18 shots, 1.2 expected goals. You know, just one of those games where the ball doesn't go in the net. So yeah, a couple of good teams. I think you'll see both of them score. Don't have a good lean on the result, but I think both teams score here. So minus 120, I think, is a pretty good price.
BETTS, Brentford, Newcastle, both teams score minus 120. All right, then you have a side you are playing.
Side, we are going with Brighton to win at Tottenham at plus 165.
Ooh,
this this is a different riff on take the better team, because I really think Brighton is the better team here. Tottenham has been really bad over the past few weeks, and they've been especially bad against the better teams this season. 9 games against teams in the top 8, and Tottenham has 2 wins and 7 losses, including 1-4 at home, where this game is for Tottenham. Brighton's really been the fourth best team, all the underlying numbers after Arsenal, City, Newcastle. They've probably been the fourth best team this year. And if you just watch them, they just look organized. They look like they have a plan. You know, sometimes you watch a game in any sport and it just seems like no one quite knows what they're doing and they're all just winging it. Brighton looks like, you know, guys are intentionally run to the right places to, you know, shift the formations around, et cetera. They've been the third best team on the road this season. They haven't missed a beat since their manager left. So I like Brighton getting plus 165 on the road.
All right. And then the official Paul Carr segment means there has to be an over in this. What do you got?
No, we're going under. We're going under here.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. It's all right. Wolverhampton Chelsea under 2.5. This is the old, please don't watch this game because I think it's going to be terrible. But
you are not required to watch this soccer game.
Minus 135 for me. Both teams have been bad offensively. Wolves is last in goals this season, third worst in expected goals. Only a couple times in the last 7 have the game had 3+ goals. And they just don't take shots. 8 shots or fewer in 5 of the last 6 games. You're not going to score a lot when you're only taking 8 shots a game. As for Chelsea, again, they've been struggling. They've changed managers a couple times this season. 11 of the last 14 games have been under 3 goals. Again, Wolves is in a relegation battle. They're going to be happy to get a point. Chelsea, you know, again, not much to play for in the league. They're in 11th place. They're not getting into European spots, really. They're not in danger of being relegated. They're just kind of playing out the Premier League string. So under 2.5, minus 135, I like here.
All right, we'll put this on the picks page, but let's review. Brentford, Newcastle, both teams to score, minus 120. Brighton over Tottenham at plus 165. Shop around for the price there. And Wolverhampton and Chelsea, the rare Paul Carr under 2.5 goals in that one. All games tomorrow.
Yep, that's right.
Paul, thank you. Appreciate it as always, man.
You bet. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on the Twitter machine. This is from, we got tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Auburnist. Watched Air last night. You familiar with this, Kelly,
movie? Yeah, the Jordan movie.
Watched Air last night, and I, while I liked the movie, had a nitpick when Matt Damon was playing NBA player point totals in 1984 at a Vegas sports book. That's awesome.
I didn't.
Okay. Didn't they do something like that in the Adams? What was that Adam Sandler movie?
The Uncut Gems, where he had like a same game parlay going, and part of it was like which team was going to win the tip, and you're like, yeah, that's a prop I've never seen before.
Do they not have a betting consultant? Like in this one, in Air, it's all about Sonny Vaccaro, right? Yeah. Like if only Sonny Vaccaro had someone in his family that might know something about betting that could help them with this.
That's a great tweet. I saw Chris Andrews tweeting yesterday.
He went to see a premiere.
He saw a premiere, and he was raving about it on Twitter.
Well, he's known Sonny Vaccaro since they were kids,
right?
You know, back in the old PA, back in Pennsylvania. So
I can't wait to see it.
Are you good? No, is it to the point where you want to see it in a theater?
Oh man, why you got to do that to me, Gil? I can't wait to see it 5 months from now when it's on demand, and I'll pay for it on my couch.
Wishnev's like, I want to go see it in theater. I'm like, really? You want to go see it that bad? He's like, yeah. So some people can't wait.
Even though there's one right here.
Right above us.
Right above
there's
us.
There's a theater. That's a great call. Some of these movies need a betting consultant, for God's sakes. Let's talk Masters. We'll update things. What about live betting? What's the strategery? That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.